inspired, or on a grandpa, to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Ria. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome back my next guest. He is Rick Thomas, president of Rick Thomas Yachting Development, and the next podcast host of Yachting USA right here on Yachting International Radio. Welcome, Rick.
Hey, Ria. Thank you very much. I am so pleased to be given this unique opportunity. Wow. Cool. We're going to have fun.
Part of the reason that you seem perfect for this is because you have been in the industry for so long, traversed from the beginning of what the yachting industry almost was in the U.S. all the way up till today. You've seen the rise and fall of shipyards, of boat builders, of all sorts of things, and you have a unique perspective. Tell us a little bit about it.
I tell you what, you're right. I've been in this industry pushing 40 years. I've been in the maritime industry between yachting and commercial for 45 years. And here we are. I have enjoyed the privilege and the luxury of making thousands of connections in this industry. Some of them go back to the very start. So it's a relationship industry, and I enjoy the relationships that I maintain with so many people. I got to add to, after this period of time, most of the NDAs I've signed have expired. So I'm able to really kick it right in and put the political correctness to the side and have real, hopefully meaningful conversations.
I'm really excited about that because it isn't very often somebody is able to toss NDAs aside and speak about what they say, but you're going to have a different variety of guests as well. It's not going to be the same old that we see on absolutely every single podcast on the face of the planet.
In fact, I want to make a point, particularly in this introduction, that this podcast is not about me. It's not. I just happen to have the privilege of being the guide to bring people to the industry in this media. This podcast is about the industry in the United States predominantly, North America predominantly. A good compare and contrast to what's happening in the rest of the world, where we've come from, where we're going, and all the individuals that make this industry so profoundly interesting.
Tell me, how long has the marine industry been going in the U.S. of A?
We're a maritime country. Our marine industry goes back to the days we were fighting good King George for our independence and having to create a navy to stand up to the time world's most profoundly successful and powerful navy, the Royal Navy. And from those days, we built commerce and clipper ships that brought our wares and goods and culture across the oceans. And that created the wealth that allowed these seafarers to build their own little boats for doing their thing. And I think when you look at the beginning of the 20th century, you start seeing the first real luxury yachts and the first real recreation coming out of World War II, when we had the greatest generation ever become successful in their own right. And you start seeing production boat building and the first small boats and port engines and all of the things that led into what I would say is the halcyon days of the 60s and 70s, when the yachting industry, boating industry started to grow up and you started seeing innovation. You started seeing a lot of different companies, a lot of different ideas. And I'd like to think that when I got into luxury yachting at the end of the 70s, early 80s, that's when it started its first real professional evolution. You saw shipyards like Dregters and Broward Marine and Palmer Johnson. I'm just thinking about the Eastern shipyards. There is a whole bunch of shipyards out west with Delta Marine. And we'll talk one day about the Westport legacy. I go back to the days when Westport was owned by Rick and Randy Rust, and they were building a lot of Jack Srin hulls for most of the American and Canadian boat builders out in the Pacific Northwest. That story has not been told very often or very well, and it's an amazing story to tell. All the way, you can just follow that path and connect the dots all the way to where we are today. And it is a quantum leap in a radically different industry today than it was 20, 30, and 40 years ago.
One of the things that I'm hoping that you can inform the general population about is because of the U.S.'s rich maritime history and the fact that they were premier vessel builders, shipbuilders, etc. What has happened? Because now we seem to think that Europe is the place to go to get your yacht built or your ship built. But the USA was pretty much the leader and king of that for a very long time. Now, I know that you're not going to have the time to answer that now. But is that one of the questions that you're going to be answering throughout the series?
Right. That is going to be one of the focuses. I have watched our industry, and I did an interview with DockWalk magazine a couple of weeks ago. And in prep for the interview, I did a little more research. I was asked to get into this interview because I had mentioned before the holidays that when I got involved, there were over 20 boat builders in North America building over 100-foot boat. And the individual that I sat with came back to me after the holidays, said, can we revisit this? I was thinking about what she told me. It seems unreal and like to talk about it. So I did the research and I went back to my files and looked at companies that I was doing business with in the 80s and 90s. And I came up with 36 boat builders that were building over 100 foot or at least building the yachts that required crew. So maybe 80 foot and larger. And you can count them on one hand and have a figure or two left over who's still in business. So our industry in the United States and Canada has radically shifted. And you're right, there's not nearly enough time to even scratch the surface of this morning. But what I intend to do is bring in the perspectives of a lot of other industry people, including owners, captains, brokers, and entities and individuals who've been in this industry as long as I have or approaching the tenure that I've enjoyed, and talk about what was and what is and what's happened. And maybe, just maybe, if we get the young people, I look at YPY and what they're doing, and I love that. They know that I love that. I'm going to certainly bring them into this conversation because this next generation will have the opportunity and the responsibility to figure out how to turn that around. We far eclipsed the European boat building industry when I was at the beginning of my career. And I believe with focus and energy and attention, we can do it again. So many of
I guess that is one of the questions that I do have is because the U.S. is known as the number one, whether it be the yachting industry or whether it be the boating industry, they are number one, period, in the world.
It is there.
If that's the case, why are they, and Americans are well known for being really proud of American made, American born, American bred. So why are they all coming over to Europe to get their boats built and then taking them back to the U.S. rather than supporting the U.S. industry, which is shocking for me.
Yeah, I get it. No, listen, I have insight on that. And that's just one of the NDAs that has expired. And we're going to talk about it because there are reasons for it. There's obviously some politics involved. There's also a strong desire to work with brand recognition, something that was in our favor 30 years ago that we've lost. There's a lot of reasons why that's happened and been allowed to happen. Maybe because we stopped being very good at what we did for a while and we let others come in and fill in the gaps that we created. So there's conversations need to happen that will hopefully start shedding light on some of these reasons. Hopefully through collaboration and conversation, we'll start finding pathways to start taking back market share and creating a stronger yacht building community. We've got an amazing yachting community.
Yes.
Yeah. That's going to be really a lot of fun and interesting to dig into. But part of what I really want to do is put a spotlight on the builders and start getting the U.S. industry thinking about how we can bring yacht building back to the United States. I'm going to do this in a very conversive format. You and I are sharing right now. I have no desire to put any filters in place. I like an unfiltered, uncensored conversation, free-flowing. Drop the F-bomb if you want. I don't care.
You've come to the right place. You've come to the right place.
Oh, so fucking lose me. We're going to have fun. Number one, we'll have fun in the conversation. Number two, hopefully people that listen to the conversations will come away with some new awareness or learn something about the industry they never had any idea about previously. Hopefully we'll plant a few seeds, we'll create some curiosity, maybe we'll piss some people off, stir the pot a bit, all of that. But the one thing we're not going to do is we're not going to stand in line with political correctness in our industry and in our conversations. We're not going to kowtow to the big toes that are in the industry that want their message and only their message disseminated. We're going to create a forum and a venue where anybody that's in this industry that has a story to tell, a message to share, has a voice now. And I will, like I said, I'm honored and humbled to be that voice for the U.S. yachting industry in your circles here, Rhea. And this is just going to be a lot of fun.
I'm actually really looking forward to it because I'm used to being the pot stir. So it's nice to have my counterpart over there in the U.S. doing a bit of pot stirring for me so they can look elsewhere for a few days and give me a break.
There you go. We share the burden and share the joy, for sure.
That's right. Before I let you go, I'm going to ask one question that will definitely stir the pot.
Oh, boy.
Fort Lauderdale, capital of yachting, or Monaco, capital of yachting, because they both seem to claim it.
It is not even close. Are you kidding me? In fact, I had this conversation in Monaco last year at the Monaco Yacht Show. And someone came up and said, yeah, here we are at the yachting capital of the world. And I looked at this individual. I said, what are you smoking? You're not even related to being close to being the yachting capital of the world. He looks and he points at all these 80, 90 meter boats at the show and says, there you go. And I said, all right, let's park those boats on the Mediterranean bow to stern and count them up and see how many linear meters of yacht you have and count the number of crew you've got on these boats. Let's go to Fort Lauderdale. Now listen, I've taken people on my boat through the canals and waterways of Fort Lauderdale. And without exception, they're gobsmacked. They have no fucking clue how many yachts we have here, how many white boats here. And that's just Fort Lauderdale. You go a few miles south to Miami and Aventura, and you go north to Boca and Palm Beach. Okay. And that's then just southeast Florida. Get over to the west coast of Florida, Naples, Fort Myers, go up to Sarasota, go up to Tampa, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Panhandle, and it repeats itself. The point being, if you take the U.S. yachting industry, particularly the Southeast Florida yachting industry, and you compare economic impact, the number of vessels, number of crew, but if you want to just count in linear feet, linear meters, and compare it to the Monaco Mediterranean yachting industry, we're at probably a 50-to-1 ratio. It's not even close. They're big, magnificent, beautiful boats. I find them incredible examples of artistry, creativity, and man's ability to create special things. I take nothing away from the European shipbuilding industry. It served me well in my career as well. They're gorgeous. But when you want to talk turkey and be serious about where the industry really is, right here is where the industry really is. And we're going to talk about that and we're going to explore that. And yeah, let's stir that pot. And if anybody wants to call me out on this, I'm right here. Let's talk.
I can't wait. I have to laugh because I actually, as a Canadian, the first time I ever heard somebody refer to Monaco as capital of yacht, I laugh because I'm a researcher, right? And all you have to do is look at the numbers of yachts and share. You may have a ton of Russian yachts over there, not so much anymore because they're all in Dubai. But as yacht ownership goes, it's the U.S. bar none number one.
Look who's buying, building the big fleet of large yachts in Northern Europe and in Italy. I think it's 60-65% of the owners are Americans.
Yeah.
So even when you take away the American fleet that's here, and you look at the impact of the American dollar and the American yachtsmen in their industry, so what can I tell you? It's real. It is what it is. And it will likely always be. So there you have it. We're in a good place here.
I can't wait for the show, Rick. I want to say thank you ever so much, not only for agreeing to be the voice of Yachting International Radio as Yachting USA and covering the yachting market in the USA. It is very appreciated and has been needed for a while.
My pleasure. And again, I have to reiterate, I am so pleased and honored to be doing this with Rhea, to be the voice of yachting in the United States through our podcasts. And again, this isn't about me. This is about our industry and the ability for me to give a voice to our industry and a platform for people to express themselves.
You've been listening to Rick Thomas. He is the president of Rick Thomas Yachting Development and the new host of Yachting USA. If you are interested in being part of his show, we will provide all of his details below this interview when it airs. And yeah, we'll look forward to some great content coming up very soon. You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again.